Grace, mercy, and peace be upon you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Fathers, it's the first Sunday in Lent. We ask you to prepare us and lead us through this long 40 days until we meditate on your Son's suffering, death, and resurrection, all for us. In your name we pray. Amen. When you experience temptation, what do? Well, two things, I guess, huh? You either give in to it or you resist it. When we resist it, sometimes we might say, either out loud or in our heads, "Get behind me, Satan." Right. Martin Luther is attributed to adding, "I'm baptized," at the end of "Get behind me, Satan." And whether or not he really said that, it reflects his teaching about baptism and resisting the devil. Most importantly, "Get behind me, Satan, I'm baptized," aligns with the Word of God. Because the Apostle Peter says, "Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith." That's 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter, in fact, would have known the phrase, "Get behind me, Satan," because he heard it from Jesus himself. And you remember how it goes. One day, Peter confessed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But when Jesus replies that he was going to be rejected by the religious leaders of Israel and be killed and then rise from death 3 days later, Peter says, "Oh, that's not going to happen. Not on my watch." Jesus gives his famous retort, "Get behind me, Satan. You're not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Mark chapter 8. Peter knew these words quite well. No doubt he ever forgot them. The devil also tempts us to set our minds on the things of man and not of God. He tempts us to sin, think about sin, despair, and to doubt God's forgiveness, amongst a host of many other things. It's a battle we face all the time from a hidden enemy. Now, the Vietnam War is a long way behind us, and there's only a few of us that know what it's like to be a soldier on the ground in the jungle fighting the Viet Cong, who were mostly a hidden enemy. The Viet Cong's whole modus of fighting was to be invisible, hidden. The U.S. Army struggled against an enemy its soldiers couldn't see, or who could pop out of the shadows at any minute and fire. Most of us don't know what it was like to fight there, but we know what it's like to experience a hidden enemy. On this first Sunday of Lent, I want us to start thinking of "Get behind me, Satan, I'm baptized," as less of a mantra that we employ when we're tempted and more of a confession of faith. Yeah, let's think of it and use it more as a confession of faith in the work of Jesus, who has defeated the devil. And here's how we can do it. Mark closely connects Jesus' baptism with his temptation in the desert of Judea. He says, after his baptism in the Jordan River by John, the Holy Spirit immediately hurls him into the wilderness, where Satan tempts him to do all sorts of strange things for 40 days. The word "immediately" connects these two events. And we've talked about "immediately" before from Mark, haven't we? Remember the Greek word for "immediately"? Do you remember? And immediately, kai euthus. You were here that Sunday, I hope. Well, we don't have time to look at the baptism of Jesus itself, because I want to get to what happened after that. But we know Jesus' baptism was a cosmic event, right? The heavens opened. God the Father spoke as he did in the days of Moses. It was earth-shattering. It's even hard to describe. It's even hard to imagine from Scripture. It was a massive inaugural event because it meant Jesus is here, and now he's going to start doing his thing. He's going to start enacting his plan of salvation for the world. So, immediately after this cosmic event, the Spirit, you know, the third person of the triune God, throws Jesus out into the desert. And the word Mark uses means throw, but less like a ball and more like a boxer is thrown into the ring. In Jesus' day, it would have meant more like a person being thrown into the stadium to fight against a gladiator or a lion. Like get in there. If Jesus' baptism is the announcement that the Messiah has come to begin his signs and wonders, then his being thrown into the desert was a declaration of war with Satan and the forces of sin. Once a declaration of war is issued, it's going to happen. Now, I don't know how other countries do it, but in America, it takes a two-thirds vote of Congress to declare war against an enemy. In the war against Satan, there's unanimous consent of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But this is a very strange battle plan that we hear about from Mark. It takes 40 days, over a month, to show the devil who's boss and who's going to win. Now, we can imagine someone like Peter saying to Jesus, "Come on, knock the enemy out right now. Just do it now. Don't let him harass you for a month. What are you doing? He's no match for you." Yet Jesus suffers these temptations for 40 days alone. He doesn't have his disciples yet. His family is back in Nazareth. They don't know where he is or what's happening. He just left home one day. Probably said he'd be back later, or he didn't say anything at all. That would be just like him, wouldn't it? Why did Jesus suffer for 40 days when he could have gotten the job done in less than a day? Well, it's how he saves us sinners. Jesus must suffer temptation with and for us. He's the promised Messiah who took the place of Israel, which fell into sin and unbelief. The Old Testament part of your Bibles is all about Israel's refusal to believe that the Lord would and could really bring them to the promised land, and the rejection and apathy to many more of his promises. I mean, there's just pages and pages of it. Israel had to wander for 40 days in the desert places over there because of their sin. They had to wander through vast expanses of nothing, no water, no shade, no food, just rocks and sand. But Jesus never yielded to the devil when he was out there wandering with no food and water. He trusted his Father would provide for him. The writer of Hebrews says about this. He says, "Jesus was tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet he did not sin." Chapter 4. But the devil didn't stop after 40 days either. Luke says he departed from Jesus until an opportune time. Chapter 4, verse 13. He would hide his attacks after this. He would come at Jesus as he did through Peter, saying, "No, no, you're not going to die and do all that stuff you're saying you're going to do. Don't do that stuff and save yourself. Abandon your mission, Jesus. Let the world and every human being die." His final attack on Jesus would be at the cross, where the war hit its crucial climax. There on the cross, Jesus' baptism would reach its fulfillment. When Jesus says it's finished and breathes his last, the battle is over. The war is won in his favor. He descends into the lower parts to make a public spectacle of Satan and his followers, his angels. God has victory over the enemy. So, "Get behind me, Satan, I'm baptized." That's our confession of faith. We confess Jesus defeated sin, death, and the devil. Your baptism makes this victory apply to you. That's why telling the devil to get lost is a good strategy. You have a good general who leads you and has your back. And you and I need such a strategy because the devil, though defeated, is still on the prowl. In human wars, when an enemy is defeated, the leaders of the defeated country are to meet with the victor to acknowledge their defeat, you know, and sign the documents which agree to the terms of peace. You know, think of the Japanese delegates who did that aboard the USS Missouri in Tokyo Bay in 1945. But Satan doesn't play by those rules of war. He's defeated, but hasn't come to the table to meet with God and sign the terms of peace. He won't. He acts as if he isn't defeated. Or continues to harass us because, well, what else has he got to do as the father of lies until the last day when he gets thrown into the lake of fire, right? God allows this for now, but when the devil tempts you to doubt that Jesus completely paid for all the things that you've done or said that's hurt others and yourself, confess your faith. The devil tempts you to despair, thinking all is hopeless. When he tempts you to indulge your natural cravings or curiosities, confess your faith. The time is coming when you'll no longer need this strategy, because Jesus has promised to open the heavens again and bring us a new earth and the new heavens, where there will be no more wars, either on earth or in heaven. When that happens, Satan will no longer be on the prowl. Until then, you and I do well in the face of temptation to look to the promise of Jesus' victory in our baptism and say, what? Get behind me, Satan. I'm baptized. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.